This week on football, Jason McAteer claims to know the next Man United manager.
In fact, we spoke about different names and who we thought would be a good fit.
Mourinho.
No.
Southgate.
Yeah.
Arsenal ultras visit the City team. Isco receives his 19th Man of the Match award this season. Bellingham celebrates in Spanish.
Muchas gracias por tu apoyo y cariño esta temporada. Y uno más gran partido en Wembley. Vamos a ganar. A la Madrid.
Cardiff midfielder seen out shopping. Neville celebrates Villa's equaliser. And Varane announces his departure.
To you guys, supporter of Manchester United, it's been an amazing few years to play for this special club and wear your Dutch shirt.
Hello everyone, welcome to this week's episode. It's the penultimate episode of the season. We have only got one more left after this. Thank you for joining me. It is Goalpost for Jumpers. It is me, your host, Alex, as usual. We are probably about 8 months in, and I cannot tell you how quick this last 8 months have gone. I really appreciate everyone who has tuned in, everyone who's been with us every week, anyone who's managed to make their way across to YouTube. Really, really massive thank you to everyone. We have got a fun-filled show, but it is more reflective this week because I'm going to be going through all of our pre-season predictions. So that's coming up in the show. We have got a weekend treble, the last weekend treble of the season. So make sure you stick to the end for that one. Considering the last few weeks have come in, you might want to. But first and foremost, let's do our team of the season. So Monday Night Football did theirs this week. We saw Gary's team. We saw Jamie Carragher's team. Mine's pretty similar. But I suppose the thing is, I think what I've considered about this team of the season is that it's a team that you could put out. A left winger who you'd play left wing. A right winger who you play right wing. I haven't kind of tried to force anyone into that position. And I've played a classic 4-3-3 to go with our team of the week theme that I've been running throughout the whole season as well. So in goal, I have gone Emi Martinez. Right back, I've gone Ben White. Centre back, I've gone Saliba. And alongside him, I've gone Gabriel. Left back, I've gone Destiny Adoghi. Central midfield, I've gone Declan Rice. I've gone for Rodri alongside him. And then I've gone for Phil Foden as well. On the right wing, I've gone Cole Palmer. Left wing, I've gone Anthony Gordon. And striker, I've gone Ollie Watkins. Reasons being, first of all, goalkeeper. I think it's gone very under the radar how well Jordan Pickford has performed this season. I've gone Emi Martinez because I think of the two, I think they're both there. And I just thought, who would I rather in goal this season? And I think going into one more game, a 39th Premier League game, and I got to pick one of them from based off their form this season, I'd go for Emi Martinez. I think a World Cup winner, full proper stature of a goalkeeper as well, the confidence, the arrogance, the little bit, the fact that he is a bit nuts. I love that about Emi Martinez, and I think he's a goalkeeper that could play in probably any team in the world, even City. I think great with the ball at his feet. Really, really reactive, responsive. Doesn't mind playing with a full back four that are pushed up to the halfway line and playing on offside trap because he's confident and he's out and he's quick and he's decisive. And I think that is, you know, big praise for Emi Martinez as a goalkeeper, but actually just as a personality on the pitch, I think that's kind of what you want. And yeah, no surprise that you won a World Cup as well. Right back, I think Ben White probably has gone a little bit under the radar, considering Arsenal's back four and what they've done this season is phenomenal. But Ben White being part of that back four, I don't think there's been a right back in the league anywhere close to him. I think people have talked about Trent Alexander-Arnold being in the team of the season. For me, it's not even a competition. Ben White's been the best right back in the league. And I think, yes, Gabriel and Saliba will get all the plaudits. They will, because they're that centre-back partnership. They're the rock-solid kind of back four heart of it. But what Ben White does on that right, not just defensively, but I think going forward as well, I think very underrated. Got a few goals, quite a few assists as well this season. But all round, I think it's been a big, big season for him. Considering, again, you know, getting left out of the England side, maybe asking not to be in there at times. And it's been a difficult season for him off the pitch. But on the pitch, I think he's been brilliant. And I actually love his personality on the pitch. Yes, he's cocky. Yes, he's arrogant. But when you perform and when you're like that in terms of the Arsenal team as well this season, you need that to win a title. And whether they do or not, we'll see. I've got the Tottenham Man City game just kicking off in the background. So yeah, that'd be interesting. I want Arsenal to win the league if I'm going to choose between the two, to be honest with you. Gabriel and Saliba. Yeah, Saliba, I think, best centre-half in the league this season and probably has been the best centre-half in the league for the last two seasons. It's a shame because I think what City should... I should see a City centre-half in here. I should see a Ruben Dias. I should see someone like that who I think has been the best centre-half in the world, arguably. But Saliba, what he's done with that partnership with Gabriel, he will get all the plaudits again over Gabriel. So it's like Gabriel and Saliba, and then Saliba's up there. But I think Saliba's just rock solid. He's the centre-back you want. He's the Van Dijk for Arsenal. And he's almost that... Is there an argument to say Saliba is at the level that Van Dijk was a couple of seasons? I think there is. I think what Saliba's doing... For someone such a young age, look, Van Dijk's got 7-8 years on him and he's at that level. So it only gets better for Saliba, surely. And it would be crazy because I think we might see France not even start him at the Euros as well. Gabriel, yeah, a few things with Gabriel early part of the season where it wasn't looking like he was necessarily going to get into the team. I think Yuri Timber was starting some of the games and Gabriel was left on the bench. And then once he really got himself bedded in, and it took a while, there's just been no stopping that back two. That centre-back partnership has been right up there. I think Carragher got a little bit carried away talking about it, like them two will be considered the same as Vidic and Ferdinand and Terry and Carvalho. I think that's a little bit strong. But certainly for what they've done this season, you can't argue that they have been probably the best in the world in terms of a centre-back partnership. So... yeah, and then left back. I think a really difficult position to choose in this team this season, Destiny Adogie. I've gone Destiny Adogie because I think for his first season in the Premier League and at a young age as well, to cope under the demands of what Ange wants, to be a fullback that not only defends but gets forward, gets in positions where he can score, can make assists, compress as well, getting caught up high up on the pitch and also getting back. I think, yeah, he's done really well. And there's not been many great left backs, but I think he's been the standout, definitely. Declan Rice. Declan Rice has been probably my player of the season, signing of the season. I don't think there's been, in my mind, from what I can remember, a signing of that magnitude that has actually turned out to be worth every penny. You look at players who are 100 plus million, and not very many of them actually succeed and kind of live up to their price tag. I think Declan Rice definitely has done that. And I think what he's done for that Arsenal team compared to last season, taking them to the next step, I think he's crucial in that. Not just defensively, but I think everyone's kind of seen a new side of Declan Rice, something that we all thought maybe he can do. He's brilliant on the ball. His technique's impeccable. But he is getting forward, scoring goals, making passes, creating, and now he's on set pieces as well. Declan Rice, for me, yeah, I don't think it's even close. No one's close to him. He is the signing of the season. And he has been the player of the season for me. Alongside him, yeah, I went with Rodri. Look, he's probably the best central midfielder in the world. He has not been nominated for the player of the season, apparently. Is that right? I just heard Kelly Cate say that in the background. I thought he had, which is crazy. But Rodri, yeah, I think if you're going to compare Rice to anyone, it'd be Rodri, but they've just played ever so slightly different positions. What Rodri's done, if City do win the league, I think once again, he's starting to overtake Sergio Busquets, and it's scary to say that because I never thought I'd see a player get anywhere near Sergio Busquets, but Rodri probably is. He's stronger, he's quicker, he's more of a threat, and what Busquets had was class. It oozed class. He was calm, he was composed on the ball, the way he turned players, pressing him. The most press-resistant central midfielder I think we've ever seen in our lives. But Rodri can do a lot of that, but also get back, get forward, make tackles, but get forward and score goals. And he's done that. I think he scored 7 Premier League goals a season. It's outrageous for a defensive midfielder. And Phil Foden. A lot of people talk about Phil Foden like he's been the player of the season. He hasn't for me. And I don't want to say it in a negative way. I don't want to say Phil Foden has been anything other than brilliant. But to say that he's been at the level that I think some people are comparing him to, I don't actually think he's been as good as a Cole Palmer, those players. But I think what Phil Foden has done, why he's in this team, why he has been better than Ødegaard, in a sense that he has got the goals for City. Where Haaland has not necessarily been there, sometimes injured, sometimes out of the team, Phil Foden's picked up that weight and he's taken it. I think I still want more from him. It's strange because Ødegaard had a better season last season. I think Ødegaard's unlucky to miss out. I think the goals and the assists and taking that weight on from Phil Foden is what put him in my team. But I still feel like there's something missing with Phil Foden. I want to see something. And I think hopefully if we see that at the Euros, that cements him in the place of, you know, a world-class player, which he's very close to being. And then, yeah, right wing, young player of the season, by a mile, is Cole Palmer. What he's done, what he did before is probably the most impressive thing if you look back at the last year for Cole Palmer, in saying that, Pep, I want to play. I don't feel like I'm going to play under you or get the minutes that I deserve. I'm going to take myself to the opposite end of the country in probably the hardest city to make something of yourself. And at a massive club with massive pressure, I'm going to go to Chelsea and I'm going to be their main man. And he has been that main man. And I don't think anyone could have predicted him scoring 20 plus league goals in a season and to get the assists and everything that's gone with him. But I think what everyone could see, even at Man City, even during the under 21 Euros, he was different. He was something a little bit different. He didn't play like a lot of wingers because he was playing a lot of right wing. He plays centrally as well, but he was intelligent and he was clever, and it was not necessarily bursts of pace like you're getting from most right wingers and left wingers these days. He was technical and composed, and he can finish. And what I like about Cole Palmer taking on those penalties, being that guy who goes, do you know what, I am that guy, I am going to step forward and I'm going to put myself out there. And he shows that in his finishing. Just you forget penalties. When he is composed on the edge of the box, taking shots on, how often does he sky one? It's so rare. And yeah, just a really intelligent footballer. And I think for me, 21 years old, what is he doing scoring that many goals in the Premier League? It's madness from right wing. But I've put him right wing. Look, he's played centrally as well. But I think, yeah, I think you'd be hard-pressed to find a better right-winger in world football this season. Left wing, I went Anthony Gordon. Anthony Gordon will drop off the radar this season because I think it's been quite a difficult period of time for Newcastle in 2024. For the last couple of months, maybe a month or so, they've picked up and they found form. But what Anthony Gordon did for the first sort of 5-6 months of the season will hopefully not go underrated, because he was the best left winger in the league at that point. He's grabbed his goals, he's grabbed his assists, but he's also been the best player on the pitch time after time. Alexander Isak's going to kind of take some of that spotlight from him. But Anthony Gordon, for me, I think has put himself in a really good position to start at the Euros in the summer in that left wing position. I couldn't think of another left winger who's been better than him. I don't think anyone's really been that close. You know, you can kind of shoehorn Phil Foden into that, but he's not played left wing, he's played centrally, so I didn't want to do that. And I think you can also probably find a way of putting Ollie Watkins left and putting Haaland up top. I didn't do that. I've just gone for out-and-out left winger, and Anthony Gordon has been the best this season. And striker, Ollie Watkins, it's a close one. Has Ollie Watkins scored more goals than Erling Haaland? No. But more goal involvements, yes. And I think from a standpoint of most effect on his team this season, I think Ollie Watkins has taken that. I think Man City would still be in the same position without early Haaland this season. I don't think Ollie Watkins, you could say the same about, because what he's done for Villa, not just finishing, but assists as well. And I don't think anyone really expected it. Jamie Carragher did a brilliant piece on Monday Night Football talking about the kind of assists that he would get in. It wasn't kind of the laying off passing to another player. It's more the kind of he's going so direct at goal, shooting, rebounds, not quite hitting the target and someone coming in and sliding in and finishing. But that's what you want. That's what Villa play for. They want that dynamic striker, someone who's going to press, but also going to be on the last man as well. Ollie Watkins has done that. And I think, yes, deserves a place in the England squad, but I'm not having him start. And it's a strange one because I just think there's a level between a player that can win a Premier League, a player that can win a Champions League, a player that can win an international tournament. I just feel like Ollie Watkins isn't quite there. But in terms of the Premier League, I don't think there's been anyone better. But yeah, I mean, honourable mentions, by the way, to Alexander Isak. I think he's unlucky to miss out. Dom Solanke, who's had a phenomenal season. Bukayo Saka, who's going to go under the radar. And I think maybe people might change their minds on whether he's in that team of the season if Arsenal do go on to win the league. Wataru Endo has been, Endo's been absolutely magic. And again, not quite made it in there, but he's been brilliant for a 31-year-old to come in for his first season in the Premier League. And, you know, obviously Liverpool just dropped off at the end, but I thought he was brilliant all season. And Jared Bowen, record breaker this season, scoring in terms of away goals, scoring consecutively. And another great goal tally from a winger who's had to play pretty much every minute. They never give him a rest. He plays Europe, he plays FA Cup, he plays Carabao Cup, he plays Premier League every minute, and he's played up front and right wing all season and interchanged, and it's been really impressive. Jared Bowen, another player that's got to go for me in the Euros, because I think he is a man for those moments in a different way. I think he is a big game player, and particularly, by the way, I thought his last international appearances, the last international break, I thought that's, he really came into his own. It's the first time I've seen Jared Bowen make that step up in the England squad. I think he's always felt and looked a little bit out of place, but this time, that England, couple of England games he played, I thought he was one of our better players. And yeah, definitely got to be on the plane, isn't he? Definitely. Right, I said I was going to do my pre-season predictions, so let's get into that. These were the different criterias or questions that I asked me and a couple of my friends in the group chat at the start of the season. We all filled it in to see what we thought was going to happen, who was going to win the league, who was going to be top goal scorer. I'm going to go through mine and show you what I did think and what has happened. Let's start with, I said, and now bear with me on this because nobody knows 100% what's going to happen. There are a couple of decent shouts in there, but a lot of surprising things have happened this season. For Premier League champions, I went Man City. It looks like it's probably going to be them. Even so, it's not a bad shout. City, just unstoppable machine. Pep Guardiola, the best manager in world football. And a team just full of robots who are so phenomenally superior in everything they do. It's quite boring at times. Player of the year, I chose Salah. I really thought Mo Salah was going to take this season by the scruff of the neck. I didn't consider really the fact that he was going to be in the AFCON. That's probably not helped. And I also went top goal scorer as Mo Salah because I thought he was going to be the best player in the league this season. It's still not a bad shout, but do we think Salah's probably had his last season at Liverpool? Klopp leaving. It's like the Liverpool kind of train is coming to a halt. And I think Salah, what I did think was going to come from Salah, I saw a lot of him pre-season where he was posting numbers, like fitness level numbers, sprints, things like that, posting numbers that he's never posted before. And then this season, it's almost like people have said, particularly Liverpool fans said, he's finished and he's lost a yard of pace. I personally don't see that, but I don't watch Liverpool, you know, I don't go to the games week in, week out. But I think there's still plenty left in Salah personally. You don't just score 17, 18, 19 goals in the Premier League by accident. And people think that you hit 30 and that's your career finish. I think the top level players who look after themselves have demonstrated, particularly the last decade that isn't the case. Cristiano Ronaldo, Ryan Giggs, Mo Salah even now, the players, Lewandowski, Luka Modric, players that have really kind of fine-tuned their physicality, how they prepare for a season and how they manage themselves through a season. I think there's plenty in Salah left. I think he's still got two or three seasons. I think Liverpool would be crazy to want to get rid of him, by the way. But I thought he was going to kick on this season. Not quite. Top assists, I thought Trent Alexander-Arnold was going to be top of the assists, but no, injuries haven't helped with Trent, and Liverpool looked a little bit of a different team. Obviously, him coming a little bit more into midfield rather than straight out on that right wing, putting balls in, maybe changes things. I think, obviously, the fact that Liverpool lost Mane as well. I think Sadio Mane was on the end of a lot of those crosses and those balls. You know, you've also got to chalk it up to the fact that a lot of their forward players have not been putting their chances away as well. So that doesn't help. Team with the most clean sheets, I thought City would have that title. But, you know, Arsenal have done something I don't think we've seen in quite a long time. Probably, I'd say we haven't seen this level of defensive performance since Chelsea, maybe. Since early Man United, but Chelsea 05, 06, 07, those sort of seasons where Mourinho took charge. Yeah, I thought City would do it, but look, you can't legislate for what Arsenal have done. That Gabriel Saliba partnership is magic. Young Player of the Year. I thought Alejandro Garnacho was going to take this season and become the world-class talent that we know that he has got in him. It's not worked out for Alejandro Garnacho, and I don't necessarily think that's him. I'm looking at a player who is not being correctly coached. And far be it from me to say that, you know, these top-level coaches aren't doing their jobs, but I've got eyes. They're big. I can see. And every time I watch Garnacho, I'm looking at a winger who doesn't know how to cross a ball or when to cross a ball. He doesn't know when to shoot or if to shoot. His finishing, a lot of the times, he's unbalanced, so he's not necessarily striking the ball cleanly. I think a really good top-level coach takes Garnacho and goes, okay, here are the basics. Let me mold you into what you should be. Because at the moment, he's raw, he's unfiltered, but nobody's helping him. And I don't see an improvement from last season. I see a player who's playing more games, but I don't see an improvement. And it's not him, it's the coaching staff. And I think it is the biggest indictment of that Manchester United coaching staff and management team that Alejandro Garnacho has not had his breakout season this season. I'm putting the blame on them, because for a guy who's 19 years old, with the talent that he's got in pretty much any other team in the league, I think we're looking at a player who's got double figures this season. He's got half that, pretty much. And yeah, I just want to see more, and I'm gutted that we haven't got that in place at Man United, and I'm hoping that changes pretty soon. Relegation, I said Burnley, I said Sheffield United, but I also said Forest. Now, that could still happen if Luton get a result and Forest don't, and maybe points deductions, you never actually know. Not a bad shout. I thought Forest, they've got the players, but have they got the manager? And that's leading me on to the next one. It was the next manager, or the first manager to leave in the season. I put Steve Cooper. We all knew he wasn't going to last the season, if we're honest. And I thought that managerial change would be really tough for them. It hasn't actually been. I think Nuno's done a good job, but they're still there or thereabouts. They're flirting with relegation. And what they've actually done behind the scenes, I think, has been to the biggest detriment, not necessarily the coaching, the team on the pitch and the players. Forrest's downfall has been upstairs. It's all the mess, the noise from the chairman, from the owner, from the hiring of Mark Clattenburg to, I mean, what a random appointment that was. It's a mess. And I think getting rid of that, hopefully, particularly the noise, will help. But it just feels like there's no stability. The spending's a little bit crazy. The signings are a little bit crazy, though some of them have been good. I just think Forrest need a bit of stability. Just quiet that owner up, shut him up, because that's not what they need. Forest need no excuses. They don't need to be coming out talking about referee decisions. Yes, there's been some bad decisions. Every team has them. You're not alone in that. And to make excuses, you then go into every game thinking, well, at least I got this to fall back on. The refs are against me and all this. You can't think like that. And you can't think like that and stay up. And I think they'll be lucky to stay up, actually, because Luton probably arguably deserve it. It's no coincidence that Forest form dipped as soon as they brought Mark Clattenburg in and started talking about referees. I just think it gives them an out, and they didn't need that. Yeah, and that's why I thought Steve Cooper was going to leave. It looked a little bit hectic. He did end up leaving. It didn't look like things were settled. A new manager has probably helped them, but I knew that he was going to leave, and I really thought Forest would probably get relegated as a result. I thought Burnley go straight back down. I thought the arrogance of the club to think that they can come up to the Premier League and do exactly what they did last season with the players they've got. Granted, sometimes it works out, but just the quality was so far off. You could see that first game against Man City at the start of the season, I knew that team's getting relegated. Yes, it's Man City. It's always going to be difficult. You could easily get 5 or 6 against you, but I just didn't see a single shred of hope that Burnley were going to even compete in that game. And you need competition. You need to go in to a game thinking at least you got half a chance. They've barely demonstrated that. I think they've arguably been worse than Sheffield United, even though they'll finish probably above them. Just in terms of disappointment, I think Vincent Kompany's probably learned a pretty hard lesson this season. Whilst he was so brilliant in the Championship, that he can't do this again with this Burnley side. He's going to need financial input. He's going to need to keep hold of his best players, but also bring in some quality, some experience. I don't think I was too far off in my predictions. It'll be interesting to do that again next season, and I'll definitely put it on the first episode of next season. I will, by the way, don't think I'm completely leaving you. I will be doing a couple of episodes for the Euros, some specials, but it will be a slightly quieter time for the podcast going into next season, but we'll be straight back up and running every week next season, which I'm already looking forward to. I've got so many ideas, so many things that I want to try and get you to come along with me as well. Weekend treble time, talking of things that I want you to get involved in. The weekend treble has been very up and down. We kind of were at a profit. Well, we were a good profit sort of earlier this year, and then it took a nosedive. It was almost like I couldn't pick the easiest results. The craziest things were happening. That started to turn a couple of weeks ago, and then we won 2 in a row. Last week's came in again. We are in profit. This is the last weekend treble of the season. If this loses, we are still in profit for the season. So can I just say, if you listened to this podcast all season and you backed my weekend trebles, you would be richer because of me. That's all I'm saying. And last week's came flying in, so we are up. If this week's comes in, then great. We've had an amazing profit for the season. If it doesn't, oh well, we still made profit. No one's lost any money. Okay, so this week's weekend treble, first selection, I've gone for PSG over 1.5 goals away at Mets. Second selection, I've gone Sheffield United versus Spurs over 3.5 goals. And then third selection, I've gone Palace against Villa over 2.5 goals. £10 on, returns you £29.22. We're already in profit if you followed me, so don't worry if it doesn't come in. I do fancy it. I think there'll be goals. Last game of the season on Sunday, these games are, by the way. Keep it responsible. Make sure you don't gamble irresponsibly. I say that, but betting companies, pretty much, they've got you so bad, betting companies can tell you not to bet in every advert and still make a profit. How mad is that? Can you imagine any other industry that would advertise and tell you not to buy their product and still make a profit? It's disgusting. But here we still are. Fan captured goal of the week. This is a gem. This is the best of the season. The fan captured goal isn't from this week. It's not from last week. It's not even from this season. It's from about 10 years ago, I think. When was it? 2016, maybe? Dimitri Payet's free kick. Everyone knows this free kick, but I don't think many people have seen it from this angle in this way. It's from the crowd, it's from the stands, it defies physics. Here it is.
Here comes Payet. Oh my God! Absolutely magnificent!
How about that? Gets better every time you watch it, and from that angle is just madness. But I had to put that in there. I only saw it this week. I've seen a couple of goals. I saw Ronaldo's overhead kick from a different POV the other day, and they're all coming out of the woodwork. It's great. But that that point of view, what a moment that was to see and capture that. Amazing. Guys, thank you so much for joining me this week. I really appreciate it. We are back next week. We're back next Wednesday and every Wednesday until the end of the season, which is only one more Wednesday. And then we are back for the Euros. I will be posting plenty of stuff still. Make sure you have, if you haven't, followed us on all our social medias. It's just starting to pick up a bit again now on TikTok. We're at Goalpost TV and on Instagram is Goalpost TV as well. If you haven't subscribed to this podcast already on Apple, on Spotify, please do and rate us. It really helps. We go up the charts and more people hear about us. If you haven't subscribed on YouTube, please subscribe and like the video. It does help us. We know very few of you do watch the video and you only listen. But if you are here on YouTube, like the video. It goes a long way. Thank you so much, guys. We'll see you again next week. Cherish these days before it's too late.